Pelicans lose a heartbreaker to the Minnesota Timberwolves 121-120. Before we get to the show, make sure you hit that like button, comment, subscribe. I'll try to get everything up. Five, Chaz and Lito joining us. Let's get into it. All right, let's start off. First off, presented to you by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk, located 19 Poydras Street by the Superdome. Give them a call at 504-523-5413. If you or someone you know has been involved in an accident, Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk, Chaz, Five, and Lito here tonight. Lito, let's start with you. We'll talk about the end, but I think once again tonight, let's start off with Jonas Valanciunas because, listen, his last two nights, he's gone up against Nikola Jokic, Rudy Gobert, and Karl Anthony Towns, and he went toe-to-toe with all three of them. I don't know exactly what I don't have the stats in front of me, but
I got you.
Go ahead.
20 You can smile to my client, Justin. I got you.
Thank you.
26, 11, and three blocks.
Yep. And in his last two games, Lito, he have the stats right here. In his last two games, he is 20 of 33 from the field, 1 of 4 from deep, 19 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 blocks, and 48 total points.
Ask me if I'm shocked. Am I surprised? Not at all. This is what we do. This is what we do every year in FIBA. I'm a professional, man's a professional basketball player. Comes in shape. He's ready. He's never out of shape. He plays hard every possession. It was questionable taking him out of this game tonight at a certain point. I think that may be me and Five, and you were talking about this before the pod started. That may be the catalyst to this loss. Jonas was the best big on the floor tonight, hands down.
I don't disagree, Five. You disagree with that?
No, I mean, I think he outplayed. Well, I don't know. Cat was like unreal tonight.
Cat was 10 of 11 from the field.
Yeah, like
so hey, Chaz, Cat good.
Double entendre. The Pelicans should have won this game, of course. I don't think no one can argue that. But I believe like this is the time where like you would think like old adage would take over. Like playing the game within the game of the NBA could have won you this game. Possibly getting to the free throw line when you have guys like Karl Anthony Towns and foul trouble. They both have five fouls and you're in the bonus and nobody tries to go at them. Like that could have stopped momentum. That could have, you know, Cat's killing. Like, and he, you have a referee in Scott Foster. Like he would have got Cat out of it. Like it wouldn't have been a problem to foul one of them out. You may have not gotten both of them out the gate, but getting one of them out would have been a good decision. I think the team played well just prior to the run, right? The run, because you get a Jordan Hawkins emotional dunk on a fast break. You're up what I believe it's 14 at that time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I believe it's 14. And then they call a timeout. And then they execute, get a three, boom, they go on a run. And runs happen in the NBA. That's not an issue. The issue is, like, understanding how to stop said runs. And I think this is the growth, right? Like, this has to happen. I mean, this should have already happened, but this has to happen at a time, like a critical moment like this.
Yeah. Chaz, let's talk about the last 2 minutes. Some bad defensive lapses, right? So Anthony Edwards gets a wide open three. And then Edwards hits a three. Then the next possession, same play, Cat hits a three. And then, you know, they couldn't really figure out the 2-3 zone. But what do you think went wrong there in those last 2 minutes?
I thought, man, honestly, I thought Ant was trying to gift them the game. Ant was clicking. I'm like, I understand. And I can admire Ant wanting to be like the next face of the league, which I think I see the vision. I think Ant's damn incredible. I looked up Cat was 8 for 9 with like 23 points. I'm like, this is insane. You kind of you kind of saw the wheels starting to come off a little bit just because I think Brandon set for a little – well, they set him out, and like it was his decision. They set him out for a little too long. When Nikhil had those back-to-back big offensive plays, one defensively, then he hit a big three. The writing was kind of on the wall. At the end of the game, I still thought that they were giving up too many offensive boards. And I think they were fortunate because Shake Milton just kept missing shots. Like, he tried to do some up under the rim type bullshit. He was tripping. I just thought that the talent rose to the top at the end of the game. I thought Dyson played admirably. I thought Dyson was incredible, honestly. I thought Herb did his thing. I thought it was an awesome game. I thought JV was phenomenal. It was a heavyweight fight, and the better puncher won tonight.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. So let's talk about, I guess, the certain situations, right, Lito? So let's talk about the 2-3 zone. That was a huge momentum changer here for Finch and the Timberwolves, and the Pelicans really struggled with it. And I thought, you know, they're clearly doubling BI. They're trying to get the ball out of his hands or create, you know, kind of chaos. I just thought that maybe in that 2-3 zone, just to put Brandon in the middle of the zone, maybe space out JV, or maybe have Dyson run the baseline. I just didn't like that they continuously went to the same thing that didn't work. And I don't know. Jared, it seems like you want to get in this.
Yeah, for sure. Good job. Listen, that's a big thing for me, Paul. Like, not being able to defeat a 2-3 zone is mind-blowing. But you can barely get the ball in bounds on the sideline out of bounds. Like, this isn't – those two things are exactly the same. Because you can't pass the ball in close quarters to a teammate with a defender right there. You don't know how to fake a pass to make a pass. You don't know how to see middle skip pass over the defense or see middle to the baseline. Like, you don't – these things do not come easy to the post. Hey, God, Jesus Christ. These things do not happen easily for the Pelicans. That's my point. Like, the skill level or the intellect that it takes to defeat a 2-3 zone. You don't need shooters to beat a 2-3 zone. You don't. Although you have shooters on the court, you don't need it. Just getting the ball in the middle, that way, if you like math, it's a math problem. If you give it to the guy in the middle, you get to play 3-on-2 or 2-on-1, and then you can make a play. I would give it to the guy that's a really good mid-range shooter, Brandon Ingram, right? And by all accounts, I would give him the ball in the most, you know, pretentious place. Like, that is the advantage, is in the middle. So that's what you would want to happen. But we don't have guys to make the pass. We really don't have a guard that creates advantages right now on the floor. That's the issue. You can't Jaden, when the defensive pressure stepped up, guys were passing half court and picking up their dribble. That is a sin. That is a sin. You get benched for that if you do that. I'm telling you, I played decent level basketball, let's say, for a really good coach. And I promise you, you don't play if you do that. But yet it happens in the NBA.
And to your point five, so we wanted both BI to be in just in the middle of the floor because one, you catch, he's a really good shooter from that spot. That's literally his spot. Second off, he then can face and turn, and you're playing one-on-one with maybe Cat, Rudy Gobert, I don't know, whoever it is, one-on-one, 8 or 10 feet from the goal. I like that matchup too, right? They collapse and you got Jordan Hawkins in the corner. But yet, and AD started calling it out on the broadcast, they would get him on the left wing, and then I think there'd be a step-up screen, and, like, the whole defense would shift. And guess what? They got it out of his hands, and, like, they did their job. And that was my biggest problem. But, Lito, and then we'll get to Chaz's thought, like, what did you see in the 2-3 zone that, like, stifled them?
I think everything Five said was pretty on point. Like, there's not a guy that made the connective pass. Also, take it off the players for a second. I think if Willie sees this repeatedly, I want Willie to adjust it. I want Willie to call a timeout. And like, you know, Five said, I've never been in the league, but I play pretty decent level basketball. And I play for some really good coaches coaches who ended up coaching the NBA, and like that shit wouldn't fly. Like you wouldn't be able to just do that. And you know, I think one of the and listen, I know this is what Willie's second game back, and I'm not trying to. I know Justin. I'm not trying to shade him because this is year what, four for him?
Three.
At this point, you got to be able to understand how to make a simple adjustment as far as attacking the zone. That shouldn't be something that we got to sit down and review film on. And I think they started putting Dyson in tough spots in order to do that. What you got, Five?
Oh, this ain't a Willie Green problem. I'm not putting this one on him. Although I agree with your point. I think it's just a Dyson thing. Like you have as a guard, like you have to be able to attack the zone and create advantages. Like that's what the job is. As much as y'all want to say, I think he's a really good secondary option, right? Like creating those advantages when he's already on the move and the defense is running, he can make those decisions. Hence why you saw the floater time and time again. Those are all secondary actions. Are you good enough to create off the dribble with pressure in front of you? That is the job. I think we as a collective have been clamoring for something like that. Hence why we always say go through Zion or Brandon because that or JV because those are usually our advantage. CJ's not quick enough to do so, right? Jose is short, can do so, but I think he's too small, but the link just catches up with him. That's not crazy. Just those things like that. Like we don't have a guy that's super athletic and super good with his dribble to create dynamic plays just off regular defense. We don't.
Yeah. Chaz, let's talk about the last whatever it was, 30 seconds, right? So
we're gonna talk about the last 2 minutes and the last 30 seconds.
I'm gonna break it down possession here because I thought, sorry about that. So, all right, I thought the Herb Jones rebound, like, listen, I get he grabbed his jersey, but
that's it was not, a foul, yeah.
Nah, it was, Chaz, it come was, on, man. You see way worse foul. Things. You see, bro, in that time, 30 seconds left, game on the line, tie game, you're going to call that.
But Justin, if you're going to say that, right, let's say Ant playing 90s defense on Brandon, like, and they call the foul, like, right there with the Pelicans in the bonus, 10 seconds left. That's why I'm like, they called a ticky-tack game at a certain point. I thought Ant –
that's what I hate, though.
I'm sorry. I thought Cat could have got a foul on that last possession, honestly. I thought he did a good job
on the avoiding
the charge. On the bank, on the game winner. I thought he did a good job avoiding the charge in the air. Yeah. But I thought, you know, if they was being extra petty, I thought they could have gave him a call right there. Yo, this motherfucker, dog, this dude, people, these DFs, and you know what DFs stand for. DFs, dog, Cat was 10 for 11. 2 for 2 from three with 29 points. This dog, it was insane. But he was moving on.
Let's hold up.
They had a guard. Like, I mean, I don't even think Cat. Like, Cat literally plays like a guard. But son.
Let's hold up. Let's talk about it. Okay, so the Pelicans are up one. Brandon misses the front end. He hits the second free throw. We're up one. Okay.
Right.
They run a cross screen to get the switch from Dyson to. Damn it! Who was Najee Marshall? Maybe was on Cat. I could be crazy.
Yeah. No, it was Herb, wasn't it?
No, Herb was out. Herb was fouled. Yeah, I think it was Najee. So they get the switch, and then Dyson's matched up with Cat. So right then and there, would you like to see anybody else on the floor? Or do you think that was our best chance?
JV should have been in the game right there. I think.
But would he have been guarding Cat? And then I guess JRE would have then guarded.
I don't think it matters.
Yeah. I don't think it matters, bro. I think when a guy carries you to that point or assistance and carrying you to that point, he deserves to end the game. And it ain't like you got this better defensive option out there for Karl Anthony Towns prior to him making that shot. Okay, let's say he don't make the shot. He would have been 9 for 11. Like, he would have just, I mean, fuck, he had an incredibly, unbelievably efficient game. I think JV deserved to be in on that defensive possession. And if you look at how they were getting killed on rebounds, like, just during that certain like segment. Right. You, this happens all the time with the Pelicans, though. Just like with the 2-3 zone thing. I think it even predates Willie. That part predates Willie, the 2-3 zone thing. And far as with this, it's just being a little more lenient and less stubborn in the rotations. Like, trust your leaders to go out there and bring the game home. Like, you trust Brandon, trust JV. If you're going to trust Dyson out there to make free throws or Herb to make free throws to end the game, you got no reason not to trust JV there. He's the only other – You're not even putting
Zell
out there.
I mean, I'm just trying to think of the matchups, right? I mean, I know you're saying it doesn't matter, but to me, I think it does matter because if JV takes Gobert, would JRE then? I guess you would have Dyson and JRE at, up top.
I think of it like this. It's like, I don't know if it stops Cat from scoring, right? I don't. But why hasn't JV earned the right to close? Like, I don't understand the.
Well, right. His knock is he's a bad defender. I think he's been great. As Lito's pointed out, he's been great.
Solid. Very solid.
And to be honest, I don't think Minnesota is like this huge PR team, like pick and roll. Like, they're not – it's heavy, but it's not like they were using it a ton. Like, they were getting switches and going one-on-one and creating their advantages there because they just have guys that can just, you know, kind of go past you. But from this point, I think – well, Rudy's not going to be at the three-point line, right?
Then, in this possession, he was at the dunker spot on the left block. He was in the dunker spot.
Right. But then that allows JV to almost help Dyson. Does that deter Cat from driving that close? Maybe it's a more difficult shot. I'm not saying Dyson played bad defense. I thought it was decent. Like,
there's not much more you can do, dude. Like, yeah you can.
Made a better shot. Like, dude, that's totally fine. Like, I'm not. But why is JV being pulled off the floor? You don't have an advantage with anybody else. Just let them thrive, because at least if Cat misses, you have a greater chance of getting the rebound. Hence the play before where you didn't get the rebound. Also, I thought Rudy Gobert pushed in the back on Najee on that one, but they didn't see that one. They saw Herb on the other side of him.
Lito, go ahead, because Jared does make a great point. Like, when he went downhill and beat Dyson, he's looking at JRE. Now, it could be completely different if that's Jonas Valanciunas, right? Like, that dude's, you know, he's big. It's completely different. But, Lito, go ahead.
I mean, I feel like I was sitting there. I didn't think that was a foul. Like, it just.
The hold?
It looked like a whiff, right? And go back. See, the thing is, and this is something Chad said the other night, Our players don't sell contact. Even if there was no contact, Gobert sold it, right? So you got to give him the benefit of the doubt like that. And the refs, to be honest, they were calling it fair both ways to me. Like, it wasn't really egregious. I think, and the other thing, we're talking about Brandon getting the foul on Ant. I think the only reason why Brandon got that foul is because he reset and then he attacked again. And he put his shoulder down and he basically – he created the contact. Yeah. He created the contact. I don't know why Jonas hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt in that particular scenario, especially in that situation in the game. He's been playing great against Rudy. There was not It was a good comment. I don't know, bro. And this is something we were talking about the other day. For whatever reason, coaches overthink things. It's so simple, and coaches in scenarios. Justin, I text you this. I've never seen Willie as demonstrative tonight as he's.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Like, what did you see?
Bro, he was really like. And Chaz can attest to this. Usually he's yelling at JV. It's JV and Trey he yells at, right? But tonight he was yelling at Brandon. Like, he was going after Brandon. He was going after JRE. He was going after Najee. And it was just like, I don't know if it was the communication, and it made it seem like he wanted a certain set and they weren't running it. But like, I don't know if y'all paid attention to this. Before halftime, Brandon I don't even remember the play, but Willie followed Brandon damn near. Like, they had a conversation as Brandon walking to the bench. Brandon walks past him. He grabs the clipboard as to say from Casey, and he says, this is the play. Like, he wanted to run elbows action. I literally heard Brandon say elbows. And then Willie was just like, nah, come back. Like, he wanted further clarification on something that happened two plays ago. And, like, he just wouldn't let it go. I don't know what it was, though.
I think you've seen Willie be a little bit more proactive. Could we all kind of see, like, if you watch the home broadcast, us, like, Lito in the five, y'all got eyes on the product, Justin, too. For me, as a person who just watched the home broadcast, you could, like, see Willie, like, coaching up guys as, like, during the timeout, even if it's, like, a TV timeout or something, you could see him proactively talking to certain guys. After a make or miss, like, he kind of been like, yo, what was that? Like, you know, he's a bit more proactive than I've seen, like, prior. But he might be coaching for his job. Who knows?
I mean, now it's not a bad point. If a lot of people in the room right now, make sure you hit that like button, share. Obviously, I'll bring up your comments. Five, let's.
I was saying smash the like button.
Smash the like button. Five, what is it? Let's talk Jordan Hawkins.
Boy. Hey, bro. Yeah, man. I think they need to use his like, in a game like this would have been an opportune time for it. Now, again, the Pelicans were up 14 with 5 minutes. I don't think, like, the game plan was, like, horrid. They had a potential to win. Like, do I think they played, like, amazing? Nah. Do I think they played good enough to win? Yes. Just in the last, you know, 5 minutes or so, just the wheels fell off. But they need to use Jordan's skill. And I think one of his good skills is his ability to run. And I think if you use that with his ability to shoot, that, like, bro, Matt, like, black people, Justin, you can stay out of this one. When we see somebody running, what do? We run. We not even going to ask questions. So if you just use that, like, this guy's ability to run, they got to be running something for him. Like, just use that as a barometer, like, oh, well, we can get the defense to move with his movement. Boom. That allows you to do something else on the opposite side of the floor. I would also like, oh, he did something to Gnaw. Paul, this is about to be crazy. He did a move on Gnaw that was so wild, and he didn't even have a basketball. The three he shot, it was, well, like,
it was a make or a miss.
It was a make. Oh, it was a make.
I didn't I missed the second quarter.
I believe so it was in the, when it happened. Yeah, it was in the first half. Bro, yeah. Gnaw was lost. Shot it. Water. He gets off the ground so fast. So fast.
that dunk was pretty loud tonight.
Oh, you thought the game was over when you did that.
Should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that kid, like, can hoop, but yeah, man, go ahead.
Hey, Justin, I just wanted to say this for you, but it says JV got 17 blocks this month.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Yeah, more blocks than
what do you have all? What did he have all of last year?
Let me see. I'll find out.
Chaz, meanwhile, I mean, if you want to talk about Hawkins, you can, but I also want to talk about Zion Williamson. And he was ruled out tonight for rest. So this is a back-to-back. This is, if I'm correct, I think it's the Pelicans' second back-to-back. And he has sat out both times on the back half of the back-to-back. We've played three times in four nights. But what I found interesting was that they talked to Zion, I think this is correct. From the tweet I said, they talked to Zion, and Zion had said that he might need a day. what do you think? What are your thoughts on that? I'm pulling up the tweet right now.
Yeah, I think it's a little PR personally.
I don't mean to cut you off. This is the exact quote from Willie Green. Sometimes after those games in a tough game like that, he can have some bumps and bruises. We decided to hold him out tonight. Green added, this was based on communication from him.
I think it's PR. I think, look, man, I think credit to the players, because you saw the players carry on the momentum minus Zion. But even in the last a couple victories, you still see the same thing from the Pelicans. The Pelicans are a front-running team. And when the game starts to tighten up, or like if the Pelicans don't have a significant lead going into the fourth quarter, the other team tends to, you know, kind of tighten up the devices a bit. Same thing with the Zion shit. You had a chance to put him out there, even if it was for limited minutes, and just have him play. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Limited minutes.
If he doesn't look right, take him out. I know too much about this organization to believe that statement. I think it's really unfortunate for the fans, because you get to see, like, this is a potential playoff matchup. You know what I'm saying? Of course, CJ is out, stuff like that. But that's even more reason to, because now you had Brandon play. You had Zion. JB played. Now it looks like you could have just punted this game, because you would have ended up with the same result. It wasn't a much better process. You made the same mistakes you made in prior games, and you went ahead and repeated another mistake by sitting Zion out. Now, I understand resting back-to-backs are for guys with injury histories and, like, older guys or superstar players. I understand, yeah, Zion fits the category if you want to be technical about it, but you have momentum going, you're working on building chemistry. Why don't you just let him play, even if it's 25 minutes?
What's your point? That's it. Like 25 minutes. Go ahead, Paul. I mean, go ahead,
I think it's a double-edged sword, right? Like, all right, you want to protect him, right? Like, that's the goal, but you know he needs to play to be in shape. So which one is it? So I think the best process that you should have taken at this point, right, is early in the season, like, just let him play a back-to-back. Because really, I would have loved to know. Now, I would have loved to know what Zion did today to stay in shape to prepare for the next game. Like, what did he just not do anything today because he was, you know, he had bumps and bruises? Like, you've seen
Zion play with some serious injuries. He's been playing through this thumb thing for the last couple games. Like, he's tough, dude. Like, he ain't play, like, bumps and bruises. Like,
yeah, I just don't understand the, like, it's early in the season. Like, if this was mid-December, I would be like, oh, okay. If this might have been January, makes sense. But it's, you know, we're 10, 15 games into this, like,
I just go back to this clip every time, Lito. I'm about to get to you, because Stan Van Gundy Stan Van Gundy talked to Coach K, and literally he said, like, Coach K got I think Coach K got the most out of Zion Williamson out of any coach so far, I guess, from Willie Green to Stan Van Gundy did. Either way, I mean, Coach K just says he has to play to get in shape. The more he plays, the better he is.
And Zion said it.
Yeah, and and when you do this, I feel like you just ruin all the momentum, and now we're, I mean, I guess 3 and 4 days, but at what point is he going to play back-to-back? At what point is he going to play 3 and 4 days? Because guess what? JV did. You know, Herb Jones, like, he played, like there's just...
Can I ask y'all?
I'm just saying, like, does it really protect Zion? I don't think not playing him protects him.
No, it makes it work.
What, like, man? Oh, go ahead. My bad.
No, I'm done.
No, I was just gonna ask, like, do y'all think we or the fan base are more annoyed because we've seen, because there's a history of them? Let's take the year five out of the equation, right? Let's say it's just a history of them. Him having friction with the medical staff, right? So it's like, let's lock in on that. So all right, if this was one of the reasons he had friction with the medical staff initially, why do you keep repeating the same mistakes?
Because it hasn't worked in the past, right? Like,
it's working.
Did he play back to back last year to start the season? I don't know if anybody knows this.
I think he did.
He did.
He did. They did. Okay, mm-hmm. So do y'all think that's what, you know?
Hey, listen. Go ahead, Chad. You about to...
No. Oh, now I was just about to say, I think he was probably in better shape last year. Also, he's probably in better quote unquote basketball shape now than he was last year. But he looked like to me, he looked, I'm gonna say, significantly lighter
last year.
Yeah, going into media day last year, in my opinion, that may have something to do with it. Or maybe they learned, maybe they learned, like, this is probably not the best thing to do going into this year. You know, I don't know.
I feel like, go ahead, Fah.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I feel like, listen, this is my stance on it. Anytime anybody asks me this on Twitter or in person or whatever, I'm never in my life going to understand a 23-year-old basketball player not being able to play basketball. I'm never going to be able to understand it. I don't understand sitting out games. I just watched Ant Edwards, who had a hamstring problem, you know, just bust the fuck up, play through it. You know what I'm saying? I see.
I didn't know that. Damn.
He it was like he tweaked it, like it was like a game ago. He came out a couple, like he but that's what I'm saying. Like, you fuck the motherfucker, he just played through it. Like you see guys. We see Bron. I see a 38, and I'm not comparing him to Bron. I'm not. I want to preface it with that. But I want to say, there's no reason a 38-year-old should be able to outdo a 23-year-old. And I understand it wasn't Zion's idea not to play. But at the same time, Zion is the reason that Zion is not playing. Because if you did everything you had to do, if you were doing the work, if you put in the work when nobody is looking, right? If you're doing everything you're supposed to do when none of the cameras is around, right? We still wouldn't be going through this in year five. And I ain't trying to pile on you, dog. But the thing is pause. That's crazy. But at the same time, it's like this, right? Take this shit serious. Be a professional. Take care of your body. It's not hard. Yo, Reggie Bush had a quote a couple years ago when he was like, yo, they pay me millions of dollars to stay in shape.
That's kind of funny though. Okay, like the Reggie Zion thing is kind of funny because Reggie stayed hurt too. he just loved Reggie. Like, yo, Reggie about to be the man, but Reggie stayed hurt. God damn.
He did. Go ahead, Five.
My two cents on Zion. Like, I think he played his best half of basketball in the Denver game.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
Although it isn't as, like, it wasn't as good, or he didn't look as explosive as we think he should be, but that was the most explosiveness I had seen out of him all season. The first half of that.
For a consistent amount of time, too.
Right. Like, what, he had 20 at half?
21 right? points at halftime.
So, and then, you know, you can see fatigue setting in the third and fourth quarter when he was playing versus Denver. So cool. Like, you take that as a barometer. Like, all right, we need to build on top of that. So why not play him for, you know, if it's going to be less minutes, yo, 15. No, that's not say 15. Let's say 20 minutes of game time. I think that's conducive because you could have built a solid lead. You could have, you know, and put him in at opportune times, maybe finish the game. But if that was the case, but not playing him does not serve him any justice, does not do his team any justice. Like, there was just a different way to handle this situation.
So would y'all just want it? Okay, I see some comments. I'm in there, Chaz. Do you think this was Zion's call, or do you think this was a medical staff call?
It wasn't.
Yeah. I think it was a medical staff call.
Why would the medical staff pick? All right, let's say there's got to be a reason. Do you think
some of the same people in the building, the same people are in charge of the medical staff? Nothing's really changed but the scapegoat. And if this, you know, physical therapist lady, you know, they kind of put her out there like she's like the new face of the thing, but really she's the new Paul's meat shield in the event motherfuckers don't recover properly. Because otherwise, you're not going to tell reveal these people's names. Trajan Langdon is a head of the medical staff. David Griffin's in charge of Trajan Langdon. It's like, it's the same. Nothing has changed. Some of the same people are in the building. Griffin's the main one who's out of the building. I'm sorry, not Griffin. Eric Nelson's the main one who's out of the building. Some of the same things are remaining and same practices. I think to that comment, I mean, I don't even think, look, this is what it, to me, this is what it boils down to. To this point, I don't think the expectations of Zion have been set properly, and I don't think he's been treated like he has those expectations. One thing, it's a small thing, but to me, it speaks volumes. Zion isn't announced last. His name isn't announced last. What message is that sending? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you're not the man here. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're one of the guys. Like, right? Now, to me, if I'm one of the guys, I'm not like, you can see he's a person who doesn't necessarily take shit serious all the time. So you're not setting the proper expectations for him. So with him, you're not demanding enough of this guy. So for him, he's not going, I mean, he already tried the I want to play shit. He's been trying it for three, 4 years now, right? And probably to his own detriment. So now maybe he's like, well, I'm just going to listen to them. But it's all bad expectations being set. I'm sorry, bad precedents being set, poor expectations being set. You're not treating him like a superstar. So now you can't make superstar demands, and he's not behaving like a superstar as far as forcing the issue and shit like that. So I just think it's all one big, it's just a bad program.
That's why I wanted to, like, I guess Lito and Five's point or thoughts is, what if Zion just like, no, I'm playing tonight? Do you think they would just let him play? Like, hey, no, I'm playing tonight. Nah. Like I'm serious. What if he forced the issue? He's like, I want to play tonight. I'm going to play. Do you think they let him play? And do you think he's done that?
I don't know if he's done that. To be adverse to Chaz's point about like Zion being announced last. Like, he's been announced last before. I don't know the doings of like how that goes. I don't know if it's like a him thing or an organizational thing or just like, hey, we want to get the crowd involved at the beginning and not wait till the end. I don't know how that goes. You know, I don't know. The Pelicans are just, in general, do some things fan base wise that I was like, all right, that could have been done differently. But as far as him saying like, yo, I'm playing tonight, I don't know. I'd be interested to see like if he did it. I'd be like, okay, well, what they go to? And again, my brother used to be like a star running back, like of our football team, right? I got to go to like a Catholic school for free because he was good. I just was like, all right, fuck it. He used to say, what they gonna do? Not play me? Like, that's what he would say. So I look at it like this, is Zion like, yo, what they gonna do? Not, they gonna tell me no? You gonna tell me no? Nah, that's not gonna happen. So yo, just do it. And see what the, you know, ramifications happen after that.
Lito, do you think this, I want to say he actually had after we rested him on a back-to-back, I think he had a really bad game the next game day. Do you think, you know, come Monday, are you expecting, you know, a fresh, ready-to-go Zion? Or are you?
No.
Because I think that I've seen this enough times where, like, I know they sit him, and then the next game, he looks,
I mean, we got a history. You have a history of it. It's a trend. When you sit him, he doesn't play. It's like, again, I don't know, man, the brother's body is weird. He just sits and he doesn't. I know that's crazy, Fowl, but it's no other way I could describe it. Like he doesn't play in a game or games, and he gains weight. You know what I'm saying? Like it's an abnormality within him, I guess, where he has to play to regulate himself. And I guess to y'all's point, look, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna just be honest. From everything I've heard tonight, the medical staff had to say so on him not playing. It wasn't on him that he didn't want to play.
But the medical staff lady said, I need to stop doing that. She said out loud that it's the player's decision. that weighs the most. It's up to them to make that decision, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she probably thought she had free will coming to this organization, but then she got here and she realized, you know, it's the motherfucking firm. So, you know, I think, you know what? I think if Zion was to try to pull some shit like that, I really think you would probably, if I could be a fly on the wall, I think that's the day you see a different side of Griff. Like, fuck that, I'm playing. Like, you fat motherfucker, what? Who are you talking to? Who do you think you're talking to? I think, because you gotta, man, just like with Daryl Morey, it's probably like hiding all James Harden skeletons. You gotta imagine if push come to shove and it's Griff. Yo, why you don't feel comfortable playing Zion? I'm like, look at him. He look like I can trust him. Like, you know, or he can say he can do 5 years. That's why I don't trust playing this motherfucker. You know, I think there's arguments to be made on both sides, right? But overall, I think it's much to do about nothing. Like, I think if this is still happening later in the season, then it's more of a conversation. But it's what, game 13? You know, I'm just
but I feel like, why do we keep saying this? Like, it's game 13, it's game 18. Well, yeah, these games matter. Like, we just keep, like, we can't punt games. Like,
well, not even that. It's year five. It ain't even really that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, to me, like, as a fan, that's probably the frustrating part of it, because it's like, I got to put the onus all the way back on Zion, because if they felt like, again, he was totally in shape and he could handle the back-to-backs, this would not be happening. And to Chad's point, like, again, maybe the organization felt burned, where they just kind of like, yo, we gave you the superstar treatment and you failed us. You know what I'm saying? So now maybe we're going to, I mean, even though they're paying them $200 million, but we're going to make you feel like a regular guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't necessarily know, but like, I don't know, dog. Like,
hey, this is what I'm talking about. This comment right here. Last year, we missed like the sixth seed, right, by a game or a game and a half, right? Something along those lines. Like, these games, I know it's game 13, game 15, game 18. Like, dude, these games matter, especially when, like, they're just in a very competitive West. Like, I just never have believed in punting games.
But. Yo, they absolutely do, right? But I'm going to say this again. If a game in, what month is this? November. Is the difference between one and two games at the end of the year and you got three motherfuckers on this team making over $30 million, you suck. Okay? If you can't recover from one fucking loss in November, you suck anyway. So it's just like, all right, motherfucker didn't play back-to-back. We all knew this coming into this season. And if you saw this motherfucker on media day, you damn sure know he wasn't ready to be playing no back-to-backs. My point is, it's like, yo, I don't really know how much we can really dwell on it, because I would say, I think you probably get your ass whooped tonight if he plays. Mm. Because, now I think he should have played, but I think you probably don't see this version of JV, probably don't see this version of Brandon. You probably, like, it's just, there's so many things that could change even if he did play. Now, would it be a better process? Absolutely. But I think this game probably ain't that close if he do play. So it's just like you gotta move on to the next game. You just gotta move on to the next game. You know, like,
five.
I mean, just like a game, the season is a game of runs. Like, you can roll off four or five losses. All right, can you roll off seven or eight wins? Like, that's the gift and the curse. And Zion said this after the Denver game. Like, no, we could go on a run for 7 to 10 games. He should feel that way. The team is talented enough to do so. But, you know, we always got to add the caveat of if healthy, or if we get so-and-so back, or if this happens. Like, you have to be able to do it within the ifs. Like, I look at it like this. Were you supposed to beat Denver? Probably not. Were you supposed to beat Dallas? Probably not. Right. That's it. Like, you know, just if you're just basing everything on this, like, do I think they're talented enough to beat Dallas? Of course. Do I think they're talented enough to beat Denver? Of course. Yeah. But when you look at it like, okay, well, you can see them losing those games. You could have saw them losing those games. But also, so they won, but they also lost to Houston. And they lost tonight to Minnesota, a team that I think they're fairly capable of beating. It's a gift and a curse with this team. You don't know what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis. That's the issue. That's the real issue. That's what it all comes down to. Like, you don't know what style of play you're going to get. And that should not, although most people hate it, that should not be determined by who is on the court. It doesn't matter. The product should be exactly the same no matter who's cooking.
This is yeah. That's that, and look, that's the most frustrating part right there, Lito. It's year five. Like, this isn't like someone was like, man, you need to chill. It's November. No, dude, it's like it's year five. Like, this isn't November anymore. This is literally year five. And people keep, someone made a comment like, rest them on back to backs on away games, but like home games, like people want to come and see you play. Cause we had, to be honest with you, man, we haven't really seen Zion play much here in New Orleans because he had the COVID year. And you then, don't like, say. Like, I'm just saying, man, like, it's just frustrating. I don't know. I worry about his conditioning. I really do. I mean, like, I'm not going to overreact and do that. Because here's the thing. I want to get back to this. The first half of last night. Five? What? Pause.
No. Somebody said trade Zion. Hey, yo, come on now, dog.
Like, no, that's what I'm saying. The first half of last night, when he was just going off against Denver, like that's who he can be. And I thought him and Brandon played great together. And then it once again stalled there late in the second half. I thought Brandon Zion, Chaz, you admitted last night, Brandon Zion played very well in the first quarter.
Like, that's, not last night's game. That's not what I said.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Go ahead, Five. Go ahead, Five. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Five, go ahead.
All right. You look at this team. And you look at the Denver game, they could play that way and be very successful. I don't think that was like the best game they could ever play, but the process in which when it happened, like, okay, if you take this style of play and use it, I don't know what's going on.
No. Donald said we don't take games off.
we don't take
games off. You know what? You're right, dog.
Shout out to me.
But that's the hard part, is like understanding who this team is on a night-to-night basis. Like, when do we really figure that out? And if a guy's resting in Zion, that's another game we lose. Like, fuck the L itself. Like, we are losing the building blocks that we were just building. Like, then we got to start over. We got to do this again. Like, yo, we're tired of starting over.
Yeah. So I think even like for clarity with the last game, right? Brandon took like two shots in the first quarter. I never expect to see that again, but I thought they played well as far as going through JV and Zion going through their two advantage. Cause I think the only way you beat Jokic is attack that front court.
Sure.
But I thought Brandon, I thought
he had four assists in the first quarter.
But he didn't like shoot much at all. So I'm never gonna really ask him to do that. So, but I thought he played fast and did his thing. I thought he played well tonight, personally. But I think I'm just looking at things that can change and things that just aren't correctable, right? Like, I don't anticipate seeing Zion, the Duke dude, or maybe not the dude, maybe the dude from last year at some point for his fitness. I mean, but it's a process. Motherfucker ain't playing 10 months, don't play basketball in the offseason. It's a process. I think we all was kind of armed with this information going into the season. Because all that, I don't believe nothing Griff say about some, I did a whole show about it, about some whole, you know, none of that shit matters. I don't care if you're doing fucking wind sprints in the sun. I don't care about none of that. Because, and this is super pause moment. If you're Zion and you had all this negative press around you, there would be shirts. I mean, I'm talking about videos and pictures and shit of Zion with a shirt off. Pause. This, like, realistically, You with Zion,
they did that one thing, I think, where he was like lifting in the
But that's even still, that was, you know, after he had probably his best basketball season coming back from a broken foot in Portland doing whatever he was doing. But you haven't seen no shit like that since then. So, you know, I don't believe nothing that I can't see at this point. But still, this team ain't like Minnesota no fucking chumps, because Minnesota had won like six games in a row before dropping that game to Phoenix. Like, Minnesota fucking nice this season.
Yeah,
but this can't continue to be, well, if Zion play, we're going to be good. If Zion don't play, we're going to be bad. You can't keep doing that. Because at some point, you got to build a team that's sustainable minus Zion. I don't think Zion makes a huge difference playing tonight. I think you got to make your fucking free throws. I think you got to make threes. I think you got to control turnovers. Got to, you know, I think Jordan Hawkins is more of the zone buster. I thought he had a really good shot at the zone. He just happened to miss it this time. And, yo, it's like, these motherfuckers is good. Like, sometimes the other team's just really good. Like, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. But I mean, they got Sacramento next couple nights. De'Aaron Fox is absolutely just.
You about to say like, something positive? Is that that's what makes you feel better?
Oh no! Yeah.
Sorry, did I miss it? Do y'all want to talk about anything else? Like, did I miss anything?
Someone, what y'all think about Jose? Oh, I want to ask five. Where would you play Jose in this lineup?
I saw y'all talking about it on the last show. I gotta have to see, because the ball handling is needed. I know that sounds great. Like the decisiveness of Jose is needed, right? Because you don't have a guy. I know he's shorter in stature, but he can kind of create advantages at opportune times. I get the energy part. Most people like to point that out. I'm not saying that. I know that's needed, but that's not something like you could just hang your hat on, because that comes and goes. Right, that's a, on an away game, you're not going to have it all the time. And at a home game, it's easy to get the crowd into it. You can make a play, right. But him being able to get in the lane and make plays will probably be the thing that I look for. And I don't know who you take out of the lineup. You know, it's a good problem to have. It is, like, it's, I'm not old. Like, I thought Jose, when we, you know, initially talked about it, I thought Jose was going to be good at this. He was better than I thought. Now, where you play him, and you're going to add shooters to what he is now, he has more space to operate with a pick and roll. I would like to see him. Check this out. The lineup that I loved the most was the CJ surrounded with shooters and JB. You insert Jose. I think he's still proactive, right? Like, if CJ isn't back yet, like, he's still good enough to, one, create with space and get JB the ball. That would be the lineup that would be most like thought provoking for me.
We talked about
Kevin Love did it.
we talked about this. Like, I don't necessarily like, okay, five. I guess like, who's, if Jose comes back, whose minutes would he be taking currently? Like, whose minutes are gone? Not necessarily gone, but I think we talked about it, Chaz, like on the last show, but whose minutes dwindle?
Probably initially Hawks.
See, that's where I'm like, I don't like it. Once again, Dyson's been one of the most. Dyson's been one of the best players, most consistent players on this team.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. There's still things that Dyson can be good. And I'm serious. Y'all think the dribbling thing is like a like something you could just glance over. It's not. It's not for me. It's really not. Like, if you're going to be the guy, initiating offense, you have to be skilled at dribbling the basketball. Hell, we were having playoff games closing with Jose because we just had nobody else. We had nobody else that could do it. So you still have that same issue now.
They're all saying Matt, man. Look,
Matt, all right, yo, look, and this is another thing. Like, think about the money. Like, Jose makes more money than Matt. Like, he's going to get some kind of minutes. Like, that's not a – it's just not going to happen where, you know, Matt's just going to play all the time. And I think Matt is decent. Like, But the minutes are going to dwindle for everybody.
Yeah, I wanted to ask y'all, somebody mentioned this last show, but do y'all think Matt don't have a real contract yet? Because they probably still working on moves. Maybe they taking back a couple of players and they might need to keep that roster spot open for now. Or do y'all think it's something as simple as, well, fuck, we're just going to keep him on a two-way as long as we can?
The two-way number is what, 50 games? Y'all found out.
Yeah, we thought, 50 games.
So, it's a slow play. Like, why rush into something that you don't have to do?
Right.
Do I have to sign Matt Ryan? It'd be great, a great story. Yeah, good, cool. But do I have to do it right now? No.
Right. I don't think they are.
What?
You don't think they oh, damn.
I don't think they are.
You don't think they will?
I don't.
Now, I think he's necessary. Like, I think what
with how injured this team gets? Oh, man. I don't know.
I don't think, to be honest, my theory on Matt Ryan, hopefully we get a chance to kind of talk with him at some point soon. If Matt Ryan isn't signed, you don't go 4-1. That's my theory. Like, absolutely. That is you are not 4-1 without Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Oh no! Hear me out, Five. It's a mistake. No, what I'm saying is, if they don't do it, it's a mistake. But I don't know, man. Like, I feel like,
they're
gonna try to outsmart the situation, and it's gonna be.
I disagree with that.
Why?
You always need shooting because
you always need shooting.
I mean, like,
Matt takes stays over JRE.
Yeah, but I mean, even with that, like, in contact, you really. Like, Hawkins has been great lately, but I still think he's going to run into the proverbial rookie wall. You always need shooting when you got two max guys who can't shoot. Like, you know, it just is what the fuck it is. Like, you know, this is a part of the show. You know, people, damn, boy, I wish it was an R-rated show. He went 1-for-6 from three tonight. You got two max guys who can't shoot. They need as much shooting as possible. So shit, imagine a lineup with Zion or Brandon with CJ, hey. Matt Ryan, Trey out there, maybe Hawkins. Like that would be insane.
It would be
insane. So,
say that lineup again. Wait, hold up.
Zion or B.I. Let's just say one of them, right?
Okay.
CJ, Trey, maybe Hawkins, and Matt Ryan. Oh, that shit would be out. Look, you got to make sure Trey and Hawkins rebounding. You know, y'all gang rebounding.
That'd be the only thing. Like, that can only be when you're trying to extend the lead, like, boom. All right, we're going to just throw something at him. But that can't be like an extended thing. Like, pause. Oh, my God. They would have a ton of trouble rebounding the ball. Ton. Now,
yeah.
If you take, I don't know who you would take off. Maybe Matt, right, for Dyson or something like that. Maybe that's a little bit better, right? Because it kind of shores up your rebounding, and you'll be able to push. You still have CJ to initiate. I hope the leaps of Trey would be like he is a better rebounder. And then that solves a lot of issues, right? Even closing games. Like, if Trey can rebound, that just opens everything up.
Look, Trey at the five to me is still my long-term like goal. Trey closing at the five.
I think he could. I think he's smart enough to do it.
Yeah, he put on a lot of weight. So,
he can jump. Like, dude, a closing lineup of Trey, Zion, Brandon, CJ, and Hawk / Herb / Dyson / those three. I guess you put Herb there.
Hey man, can we talk about Herb for a second?
All right, look, hold up. We'll go 10 more minutes here. We'll go 10 minutes on Herb Jones. Before we get to it, make sure you hit the like button, please. We got over 160.
You say smash it.
Smash the like button. Smash it. Okay. Smash the damn like button. Go ahead, Fog.
And that was crazy. 10 minutes on Herb. That's wild. Listen, I think this dude is the leader on this team. I really do. Like we talk about energy, but it changes. It significantly changes when Herb Jones plays basketball. the let's talk about this play versus Denver. And I thought this was like the changing play of the game. He gets a chase down block, right? Boom, you see the chase down. Wow. He's not even supposed to be in the play. Not even supposed to be in the play. He gets a block. Not only does this happen, this starts a break. Now, Brandon doesn't really get back. I don't think Hawk doesn't really get back either. Herb gets the block. Boom, he pushes to Brandon. Brandon catches it. Gets to the middle of the lane. Doesn't have anything. He sees Herb at the top. Boom, throws it out to Herb. Herb already knows out the, so, at the corner of his eye that Matt Ryan is there. He doesn't even hold it for a second. Soon as he touches it, swing pass. Matt Ryan shoots and one, three catch. Now, Matt Ryan misses the damn free throw. But,
right.
But how pivotal it is to know who is where. Like, Herb knows. And I think him and Dyson playing on the court at the same time. Hey, bro, don't get me started. Herb and Dyson playing on the floor at the same time is almost like a Ed Reed.
Come on.
Not me.
Come on.
No, all right, let me go back to this. This is right. Like Troy Polamalu.
Come on. All
right, Troy Polamalu.
This guy's in my notes, man. This guy's good, man.
Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark talked about this before. Troy said, I wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame if it wasn't for y'all. Y'all were so good at what you were doing, it allowed me to do what I needed to do. It allowed me to be great. Dyson is that for Herb because he can guard a Luka one-on-one and Herb doesn't have to worry. I can just play, you know, help side at all times and clear up everything just because you're doing your job. Now imagine if everybody else did their job. How good this dude could be. But, you know, they don't make too many Herb Jones out there.
Hey, listen. Listen. What Five said, I want to add to Herb Jones is the leader of this team. Said that shit last night. He is the leader of this team. When he comes back into the lineup, it's like the energy changes. It's maybe they didn't believe, right? But when Herb gets back on the floor, it's like suddenly the light bulb goes off for everybody. Like Five called that shit perfect. It's literally Troy, it's Polamalu, and it's Ed Reed together. On the same team, playing the same defense, they are interchangeable in a pick and roll, and it's so beautiful to watch. One guy hand like Dyson will hand the guy off to Herb, right? He'll hand him off to him, and Herb is just like, oh, "All right, cool." And Dyson will do the same thing on the other end, and then Herb will just fucking roam, bro. It's been so many times where I've seen Herb will take the guy on the weak side. And he'll be a non-scorer. Herb will roam, and they come back to the top and get the steal. And Dyson has started doing the same thing. And listen, I would be remiss if I did not talk about this. Herb Jones was 3-for-4 from three tonight, and the motherfucker had 8 assists. He had 8 assists, dog.
Career high, I believe. Career high.
Oh, and the joint to the corner,
bro.
Oh, the ham, bro. Ooh, the wraparound,
bro. Listen, and Justin,
Jesus, so stupid.
Justin, you gotta repent. Justin, you gotta repent for your sins. You've been going crazy the past 2 pods. But hey, listen, check this out. If you'd have put Herb in. And I ain't trying to shit on Dyson, but if you'd have put him in a Dyson spot tonight where he had to make those connective passes, bro, it was a point tonight where Dyson crossed half court and he picked his dribble up. 1 foot over half court. I wanted to lose my mind, dog.
No, that shit is terrible. Like, don't do that.
I thought Herb, since Herb's been back, man, I thought Herb's been really, really good. Yeah. And that's probably an understatement. I think what it's been... 3 games back now. I just hope the momentum continues. And CJ seemed like he getting close to Trey supposed to be coming back in the next week or two. Well, he's supposed to be at least, I guess, reevaluated maybe in the next week or two. So I don't think anyone should rush.
Were y'all shocked that Jose didn't play tonight? Five? I mean, were you in the build? Like, were you shocked?
Yeah. I mean, watching him warm up, bro, like he looks good. Like, he looked ready. Like, let's say the Denver game, that one more specifically, like, dude had a sweat going crazy. Like, him and Corey Brewer playing ones. Like, he's killing Corey. And I was having a conversation with Coach Aaron Miles. I'm like, he was good. Now, he wouldn't tell me, you know, this or that. But just like, oh, wow, like, dude looks ready to hoop. I wonder when he's going to play. And then he got upgraded to, what was it, questionable today?
Questionable today. You know, and Jose on Twitter quote tweeted with, you know, eye emojis as well, like thinking like he'd be back. So I was kind of surprised they didn't play.
So listen, can I say this? And this, I just might be a prisoner of the moment. I don't know what I understand. Jose is probably the only natural point guard on the team, and in certain spots, like, he should be playing. I don't know. Maybe I forgot. Yeah, and that's on me. Like, I forget things sometimes. Like, maybe I just need to remember how good he was. You know what I'm saying? And in 10 minutes a game from Jose, like, I'm cool with. But, like, I see people on Twitter in the comments talking about, like, crazy numbers. And I'm like, I feel like
this is Elfrid Payton. Elfrid Payton, the Julius Randle year. It's just, oh my God, this team just, boy, this team will. this team is
Well, we'll see. We're gonna see y'all Monday night. Like, comment, subscribe. Let's hear from DraftKings Sports. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BOOT. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BOOT. The crown is yours. Appreciate everyone that pulled up tonight. We will see y'all Monday night against the Sacramento Kings. Hope y'all have a great weekend.
Yep. Yeah.